This is Paige, the co-host of Giggly Squad, and I want to tell you about a company that I've been loving, Olive & June. Olive & June gives you everything that you need for a salon-quality manicure in one box. And if you break it down, it really comes out to $2 a manicure, which is absolutely insane. It's also so easy to get salon-worthy nails at home with Olive & June. The difference between how your nails used to look when you did them yourself and now with the Manny system is a complete game changer. The best thing about Olive & June, too, is it's a quick dry. It dries in about 1 minute, lasts for 5 days, and full coverage in up to 1 to 2 coats. Visit oliveandjune.com/perfectmanny20 for 20% off your first system. That's oliveandjune.com/perfectmanny20 for 20% off your first system.
Ever catch yourself eating the same flavorless dinner 3 days in a row? Dreaming of something better? Well, HelloFresh is your guilt-free dream come true, baby. It's me, Keke Palmer. Let's wake up those taste buds with hot, juicy pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Mm. Hello Fresh. Stop dreaming of all the delicious possibilities and dig in at HelloFresh.com. Let's get this dinner party started.
Everyone, how are you out there all over the planet? You are tuning in to another episode of Running Things with Donovan Bailey, and I am the co-host, Simon Jane, and we are here for episode 2. So hopefully you got a chance to take a peek last week and hear what we had to say. We're moving on to some fun stuff again this week, but before we get into anything super in-depth, it's probably right that you guys know that it's the 25th anniversary of Atlanta this week.
It is July 27th. Will be 25 years since Atlanta, since I was the greatest sprinter on earth, the greatest of my generation, you know, Olympic champion, world record holder. So this is, it's phenomenal, man. 25 years later. And, you know, I still feel that that time I ran probably could be faster than the winning time at this year's Tokyo Olympics.
Really?
Yes, absolutely.
That's a bold prediction.
Well, I believe so. I think, well, if you're running 9:84 right now,
right,
I will certainly expect you to be on the podium, yes. And based upon the field that's there right now and the incredible toss-up in the men's 100 meters, running 9:84 is definitely going to get you on the podium, not just in the finals, on the podium, if not, win it.
That's crazy.
Not at all. It's just that's my own personal prediction,
I can't wait to, what do you know about sprinting? It's truly baffling to me that you have an opinion on this.
well, yeah, for sure. I mean, I you know, this is, it certainly will be very interesting. I'll be watching to see what these kids
do. Do you have a prediction on who's gonna?
I don't. The prediction for me, well, one, it is probably the most wide open men's 100 meters in many Olympics. Many Olympics. Number one, it's the first Olympic game since 2004 that Usain Bolt is not competing at.
That's you know, very true.
Right? Number two, Trayvon Bromell has been very fast this year, but also he's been beaten by all the athletes that are in the field. Most of the athletes in the field. I think that Andre DeGrasse has an incredible opportunity to go out there and win.
I mean, that's what I'm hoping for.
Yes, but he has an opportunity to go out there and win.
Right.
He definitely has to put himself in a position in the semifinals to get a really good lane. He will not panic in the finals if he makes it there, and I fully expect for him to make it there. Johan Blake, if Johan shows up, and again, he gets out of his own way mentally, he certainly can do some things. Jacobs from Italy. Sambini from South Africa. We have.
You're getting me excited for this race now.
This will be certainly. This will be one of the obviously it will be my favorite race, or at least one of my favorite races at the Olympic Games. But yeah, there's no clear cut favorite, and that's why I'm excited about it.
Amazing.
This year.
That's a very in-depth look at the 100 meter. I think everyone's actually, wow. And I think you just got everybody just so amped.
The women's will be just as,
I was just about to say, I actually went and looked up after last week, your favorite, Shelly-Ann Fraser.
Yes.
And then I looked at the rest of them, and you're right. The field is very stacked, and I'm actually going to tune into track for the first time in a long time.
Well, yeah? It's my first time ever, Simon. Say it.
That's not true, man. I saw you run.
Oh, very good. Okay, second time. For the second time.
And this is actually a very good segue about what I wanted to talk to you about today, because you've basically framed it really, really nicely about what this moment could mean for someone. This could be a life-defining moment for one of these racers, female and male.
Right.
And it got me thinking about your, you know, since it is, you know, the 25th anniversary of the Atlanta Games, and a great moment for you and a great moment for our sport and a great moment for Canada.
Right.
I actually thought this would be a good time to talk about how you almost didn't run for Canada.
Oh, geez. Wow.
Because Canada is known for being this polite, wonderful place, which it by and large is. You know, it's Canada, but underneath,
but
there is,
I'm not real far.
Well, I'm saying underneath the big story, when you won the 100 meter, you were Canadian. That's what that was, right? Like, you were Canadian, and you got the tracksuit on with the big red maple leaf, and that's, everyone remembers that, you standing there, mm-hmm. you know, and when you run, and there's the big red leaf on the leg, and it was always the big red leaf. Right.
Well, our big Canada across the chest.
Right. Look at the polite wood lumberjack people and their great hockey team and their amazing travelers. But there's not always, we don't always treat each other with that respect now, do we?
No.
We have this glowing reputation. It's not always true.
Yeah, Canada's, I mean, we have managed our brand very well over the years.
We have definitely managed
our brand a lot over the years by creating this facade that everything is relaxed and easy. And so, listen, it's quite convenient, Simon, because we can always point the finger to the U.S. We cannot go, we're not like them.
We aren't, though. Right?
But I'm saying to you that is absolutely true.
Yeah.
That is absolutely true. But I think that, 25 years ago in 1996, like I addressed racism. And for that at that time.
In the sport specifically, or?
Well, I was asked a question, and I think that being the world champion, you transcend sport. I mean, obviously I said it in Sports Illustrated, and fortunately or unfortunately, the only people is not only sports people that read Sports Illustrated, especially if you have an interesting article. Being Canadian and being brash, I guess people have said arrogant. If I played hockey, what would I be called? If you're peppy? No.
If you were petulant?
Yeah.
No. What do you mean? Positively or negatively?
Yeah. When you're a hockey player and you have low tolerance, or you're quite aggressive on the night. Temperamental.
Temperamental. Yeah.
That's what it is. So, I wasn't temperamental. I was arrogant. So I'm saying to you that dealing with some of the sports, the politics of sports in Canada, I was very different from day one. I was very different because when I came to the sport, usually in the sport, athletes come to the sport because they desperately need it to get out of a situation.
Right.
And I'm the complete opposite. So the people that I encountered from the day that I started track and field were pissed off at me from the day that they met me in track and field, because I'm just like, who are you? What do you do? Okay, you do nothing. Get out of the way. Who is the person that
now,
makes the decision?
Are we talking like trainers? Are we talking like...
I'm talking everyone. I'm talking every single person, because the great thing about our sport is no different than hockey. You've got what you'll find is that... There are athletes that they said an athlete's been through the system. So someone starts playing hockey at 5 years old. And then, of course, there's certainly word about this kid or marketing around him, representation. And so you have a little reputation where the road for that child to make the NHL is probably easier than a kid who lands at 15, borrows some skates, starts to skate around, and then he's on the Canadian team the next couple of, the next year or two. That would piss off a lot of parents.
Right.
And I'm saying to you, but it's also a team sport. So again, it's quite different. So I had to deal with the sports people that I dealt with in Canada. I did not go through the system. I was born in Jamaica. I grew up in Jamaica. I ran track in Jamaica. I was good in Jamaica. So when I got to Oakville, I knew I was good.
Good old Oakville.
Yep. Good old Oakville. So, I knew I was good. So, but more importantly, I was extremely lazy because I knew I was good. And I knew I was also in a town where...
extremely lazy.
Well, I didn't practice. I did not practice because naturally I could beat the guys on the team.
This is not the advice I'm hoping the children at home are taking in right now.
Well, this is the advice.
Kids practice. You're not Donovan Bailey.
Well, first of all, when I did practice, I became the greatest that ever lived.
There's the lesson right there.
So that's the lesson. But I'm saying to you that...
And eat your vegetables.
Yes. And hydrate. But the politics of sports in Canada is much different. And there's always people putting roadblocks in front of you if they feel that, one, you're not working hard enough, or maybe, two, they don't like you, three, they don't think you deserve it. And so being part of our national program, there was a lot of people that thought that because I didn't have time for them. And they didn't know me. And to some degree, a lot of those people still don't know me now because there's still a million narratives as to who I am. But thank God I have a podcast. and whatever question is from the horse's mouth, and this is factual. So there's still a lot of people that have horrible narratives. I don't know where they get it from. I've allowed them for many years to go with it. But yeah, the Canadian landscape is not always supportive of young athletes who are hungry.
Okay.
I certainly could go down the road. I was a young black athlete, but I don't necessarily need to go there. I mean, we'll certainly get to that.
We'll cover racism in Canadian sport at some point.
Right. But in some ways, I think that factors in because I'm speaking to people who don't look like me, and I'm speaking to them as my equal or lesser than.
Right.
And I think that pissed off a lot of people.
So now, knowing what you just said to me, let's rephrase the question. You almost didn't represent Canada,
right,
in track and field.
Right.
Why?
Well, for the same thing. There was a lot of roadblocks. I mean, I should have represented Canada in Tokyo in 1991. I should have represented Canada in Barcelona in 1992.
So who is the person who made the decision to not let you represent?
There's a selection committee, so it's usually the nameless, faceless guys. And then when I see them, I let them have it, and I became famous for that.
Okay, so
maybe they were name and they and I knew their faces, and that is where I developed. That's where good old Donovan, corporate Donovan, was developed back then, because I think they realized that I don't care who you are, and at no point should you be put in a place where you are making a decision on my future when I had earned it. I mean, right. I felt that I'd earned it. If I'm top three in the country and you're sending four people, then I should be one of those people. So to your point, 1994, as a Jamaican citizen, I could clearly have represented Jamaica. That's number one.
100%.
Number two, the person I was with, my partner at the time, was British. Okay. So I could have, again, easily just got married and represented
England,
the UK, and they really, and we talked about that one.
Oh,
we talked about it with the British people, for sure, right?
Okay, so
let me finish that, right. Come on now. Right. And number three, which is not a little known fact, I'm sure, I signed my first club deal with a professional sport organization in Turkey called Fenerbahce. And so
the same Fenerbahce.
Football
Fenerbahce?
There's only one Fenerbahce, yes. So I signed with my first professional contract, my first, was with Fenerbahce, and I competed for Fenerbahce at the Euro Cup in Malaga in 1994.
Is it similar to football then? Are you playing like Real Madrid in Spain or?
Well, it's the club championship. So Fenerbahce gets to put in a club. So they essentially buy me.
That's what I mean.
So I'm like,
is it like a super league then, or yeah. Is it by country?
No, it's not. Yeah, it's a super league, but also by country. Oh, it's actually by Europe. So it was Europe.
But your team, the rest of the track guys, are not all Turkish. They're like you.
They were Turkish. It was me.
Oh, mostly
it was,
Turkish.
It was me and all Turkish guys. Like I don't know if this is still so.
I'm gonna look this up after. But I'm fascinated.
But if you look this up, Simon. So I won the 100 and the 200 for Fenerbahce and Turkey. Right? Also, I anchored the Turkish 4x1 relay team, and I think, I don't know if it's still there, but I think that I am the anchor for the Turkish 4x1 record. I think you need to check that out.
We are just going to take a quick break, and we'll be right back.
Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds. Recently, I asked Mint Mobile's legal team if big wireless companies are allowed to raise prices due to inflation. They said yes. And then when I asked if raising prices technically violates those onerous two-year contracts, they said, what the f*** are you talking about, you insane Hollywood ass f-. So to recap, we're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month. Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
Hey, it's Paige DeSorbo from Giggly Squad. High quality fashion without the price tag. Say hello to Quince. I'm snagging high-end essentials like cozy cashmere sweaters, sleek leather jackets, fine jewelry, and so much more, with Quince being 50 to 80% less than similar brands. And they partner with factories that prioritize safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. I love that. Luxury quality within reach. Go to Quince.com/style to get free shipping and 365-day returns on your next order. Quince.com/style.
So I competed for Turkey, and so just like Bahrain or Qatar or some of the Middle Eastern countries, and including Turkey or Switzerland or UK or any of these, you can literally have you can buy citizens.
That's crazy. So, I shouldn't find it so fascinating because soccer does this thing every day.
Right. But. So we also had discussions with the Turkish government
to represent Turkey
to become Turkish.
So you'd be
have a passport.
You would have raced for Turkey.
I would have ran for Turkey. Yeah.
So effectively, you could have ran for four countries.
Yes.
Okay. Was there a moment where you? Wow, my mind is spinning right now. Like to think that you wouldn't have won that moment for Canada would be like erasing such a massive legacy for myself and so many kids that like watched it. Like
thank you.
I couldn't even like to remove that from history for me, right. That would be like removing the Jays winning the World Series.
Well, it's not removing it. You can't really think of it that way.
No, because it never would have happened. It's some weird Black Mirror episode where like we just go and start erasing all the good things that ever happened.
True.
But like,
I had some pretty good options, though. I got to
okay. Well, Jamaica
has got a very rich history from it started.
Okay, so you would have cemented yourself as yet another amazing Jamaican sprinter.
Yeah, the dominance of Jamaican sprinting would have continued representing the flag.
Interesting.
Yes.
Okay,
because that's what it is. Jamaican sprinters, we have been dominant for years, but not always representing the Jamaican flag.
Okay, so I do love Canada. I love my country. I am so proud of. But was there a moment then that you were seriously considering not running for Canada?
Yeah, I mean, but listen, I mean,
seriously, like you were about to sign.
Well, I think that there was huge financial benefits to sign to Turkey.
Obviously.
Because I'm who they've got.
And they pay athletes as well.
There was a nice, I want to say it was seven figures per year over many, many years.
Oh, see, I'd be Turkish right now.
Yes, I know.
Hey, Fenerbahce, if you got a spot for me, I don't run track, but we could figure it out. There's got to be something that I do well that you guys are into.
Simon will give you a very good 11-minute 100 meters. That's what he's going to give you.
Hey, you know what? I bet I could run the 100 meter in 16 seconds.
Okay. Well, I mean, very certain you can go out and do it.
We're going to do this for anyone listening. We're going to do this. We're
going
to go to a track and I'm going to do, you know what? I'm saying it right now.
16 seconds.
16 and a half.
Okay. That's good. Yeah. Keep going. No, yes, I had great options, logistically, I think Turkey probably would have been the easiest route. Logistically, if I switched countries, I would have had to sit out the Olympics. So because what happens is that when you transfer countries,
right,
it's almost like players. You got to sit out
the next tournament.
Yeah. You got to sit out.
They call it cup tied in soccer.
Right. Right. So when you transfer countries, you got to sit out. So, and because I had represented Canada at the Pan American Games in the first year that I was on the national team, I had represented Canada already.
So you are the official version of cup tied.
Right.
Okay.
So I chose to represent Canada, but it wasn't just because of that. I mean, the balance of me as a man. Yes, I was born in Jamaica and I'm extremely proud Jamaican, culturally or in every way. But also moving to Canada, even before I was a teenager, and having that life balance of having, the great education here, friends, obviously a new culture, actually allowed me to be such a balanced person coming from Jamaica and living in Canada. So I thought that this was the greatest place for me to be because those other countries didn't really resonate with me. I mean, obviously I'm Jamaican. So,
right.
And as a Jamaican, whomever you compete for, Jamaicans are going to cheer for you no matter what.
Right.
So I knew that competing for Canada, that's for me, psychologically was the greatest balance I'm going to have because those are the two cultures that I'm built from and certainly resonate with me and my success as a balanced man or a balanced athlete.
Right. Was it an easy decision when you finally came to it? Were you convinced?
It was easy because some of the people that were preventing me from going, when I actually understood what the formula was, when I understood that one, I really need to be focused, I really need to practice, I really need to know, and also assembling the greatest team around me. As an athlete in an individual sport, I don't have to make a team. All I have to do is run fast.
Right.
Right. So when I started doing that and the naysayers started getting quiet, I knew that I was onto something. So yes, it became a very easy decision. And those very same people were still creating roadblocks. But then at the end of the day, when I started adding gold medals and world records, that became...
say it, bro.
That became a little difficult. To this very day, some of those very same people are still bitter.
I would
Sucks
imagine.
To be you.
Okay. So they didn't recant then. They didn't recant their decision or recant their opinions. They just kind of, they were bitter about it.
This is Canada, Simon. You don't recant anything because you are not wrong. You just don't say anything.
Right.
Right? Remember, you smile.
Textbook polite.
And you smile and you go, hey, I supported you all along. And then I'm thinking, well, I didn't get selected for that team, but I was one of the best. But you supported me. Thank you.
Right. is there a person or a specific moment that we should thank for the moment that we got for having you on the team and representing our country and winning those medals? Was there a person that was instrumental in making sure that you this is the route you went and giving you perhaps a bit more guidance on a personal level than simply the politics of sport?
Yeah, a couple of things. So the moment, so that specific moment happened in Victoria in 1994. That specific moment was me going to the Canadian trials. First of all, we hosted the Commonwealth Games. So all of you don't know this. This is probably the third biggest track and field event on the planet. And so we were hosting it.
That's crazy. What does that mean, though, the third biggest track?
Well, you have the Olympics, then you have the World Championships.
Okay.
Right. So this would probably be the third. This third means that gathering of countries.
Right.
And top athletes.
What's
from
the
region.
What's the capacity of something like that? The crowd, I mean.
Oh, my God. Well, the crowd, it's always going to be a stadium full. So it's always going to be 100,000.
100,000 people?
Plus TV from everywhere.
This is a whole world that we need to start tapping back into on TV. 100,000 people?
In Canada.
That's insanity.
In Canada. I mean, and media from everywhere.
There's 17,000 people at a Leaf game. Like 21 if you include the Raptor. Like the filling it up to the...
There's 50,000 at the 150.
That's true. That's true.
For one guy.
Got it. All right.
Yeah, kids. Trending. 1997.
Viral. Hashtag trending.
Yes.
Hashtag track and field.
But back to this. I'm letting you know that in 1994, I was the number one sprinter in the Commonwealth Games.
Go on, bad sir.
I just want to make sure that that's understood.
Woo.
And I went to the trials.
He's not actually flexing, but trust me, it feels like it.
No, not flexing today.
No, he's not. I'm just color commentating.
We went to the Commonwealth Games trials, and what you and in any trials you go to the games, and you make the team, and then obviously you get named to the team. But essentially, in track and field, you can name yourself the team by just simply winning. I had flown in from Switzerland. I had, you know, for some reason I was getting sick, so I had a fever of 104. I asked the team doctor. To take my temperature. There's a record of that. He said, you have 104. You probably shouldn't compete. I'm very certain that they're going to name you to the team.
Wait. Your temperature is 104 degrees?
Yes. So I had a massive fever.
Dude, that's like that. Yeah, that's a massive fever.
Yes.
Like that's so, like brain melting level.
Well, I mean, I'm superhuman, so maybe it wasn't brain melting.
No, I mean, I'm obviously being my normal dramatic self, but... That's just, it's very sick. You're very sick.
Very sick. Very, very sick. For sure. And so I had a massive fever. I went to the doctor. I said, I'm not feeling well. I've got a massive fever. Should I compete? I'm the number one. First of all, I'm by far the number one sprinter in Canada.
Right.
And like I said, I'm the number one sprinter in the Commonwealth because the only rivalry that I had really was the guy who ended up winning, a guy named Linford Christie. Right?
You know what? I didn't know much about him growing up, but actually I liked his personality on TV.
Dude, that's my boy, man. I like Linford.
You and Linford Christie were boys?
I mean, as boys, as two rivals could get.
As right. And, yes. he was English, right? Or Jamaican,
you know, Jamaican
English.
Yeah. But Linford's good people. Linford's always been like...
But you're saying he only beat you because you had 104 degree temperature.
Well, I'm saying that... I'm telling you, I didn't have an opportunity to race Linford.
Oh, you didn't end up racing.
So I am at the trials. I did not compete. The doctor says I should not. I didn't get selected for the team. So what happens was, and again, we're back to this politics again. Bruni did not compete at the trials because he had surgery. Now, I also had been crushing Bruni all year.
Who's Bruni?
Bruni Surin.
Bruni.
Oh, jeez.
Bruni, I see Bruni's listening now. Where are you, Bruni?
No, it's okay. It's all right. No, but so the team compromised of my training partner, Glenn Roy Gilbert, and Robert Esme. And then... The selection committee, the nameless faceless idiots, chose, they picked Bruni because
we were just throwing so many rocks today,
right? But they picked Bruni because Bruni had represented Canada before. Forget about the fact that I'm actually the fastest Canadian.
So let's overlook this small caveat that you are the fastest guy on the track.
Right. I am by far the fastest guy
from
Canada. Makes
sense to me.
Right. So I did not get selected. So this was, you asked me the question about the moment.
Yeah. Is there someone, like you must have been, for lack of a better term, you must have been pissed.
Oh, piss would be a very nice, gentle word.
Okay.
That I would have used.
So this might be where they started to perceive you as arrogant with big arrogance.
No, it was before that.
Okay.
It was before that. But this time, not only was I that, I was quite confident and hella fight fast. So I mean, this was. I'm a train now. This is not a good look right now. I think at that moment I said, okay, I'm now going to compete for another country, because it's very clear that I'm getting
shafted by this one.
Yeah, this is utter slap in the face, complete and total disrespect. And I can't blame any of the athletes. I mean, if I
nor would, should you, but
no,
yeah.
I would never do that. Glenroy had won the trials. Robert was second. Bruni got selected. That has nothing to do with any of those guys, right? And so I think that we had talked about this in a previous time. I mentioned the name Molly Killingbeck. Molly Killingbeck ended up being the coach of the 1996. One of the coaches on the relay team, but Molly also, in her right, one of the best Canadian sprinters that ever competed for this country.
Oh yeah,
Molly was the one who kind of saved the day. Molly said, "Donovan,
whoa,
you know, Molly,
it's a big moment."
Yeah, but this is the moment. This is the moment. Molly said, "Donovan, you know what? The greatest way. I mean, and we always talk about how." Haters motivate me.
Right.
Said the greatest way to shut these guys up is to go out there and compete. And I didn't necessarily just want to go there and run the relay. I knew by far, again, I was the best on the track. And so Molly said, "Hey, here's what you should do. Do it and then walk away." So I got to the Commonwealth Games. Linford and I met up. He says to me, he says, "Oh, by the way, I heard Canada is not going to allow you to run." And then he started to laugh. He laughed his ass off.
So he's goading you right now.
Oh my God. He's like, "What?" He's like, hold up. Me and you have been battling in Europe, and you, my friend, are not allowed to compete for the country. So Linford went out and won, as he should. And then the relay came around, and I'm like, okay, you know what? I'm going to do this. I spoke to my coach, Dan. I spoke to Molly, and then I spoke to the team. And I said to the team, it was a few choice words. I said to the team, I'm like, first of all, this should have been my second gold. I am going to give you a 10 to 15 meter lead. And if you guys lose this, if we don't get a gold medal, we're fighting on the track.
So this is the same meet that you were not running the 100.
I am not running the 100 meters. So it's a little bit like Shakari.
Oh, I'm about to say, like, yes. So it is, you know, if you're listening.
Except I was never suspended.
If you listened, that's an important fact, actually. If you listened to our last episode, we talked about the amazing and crazy talented Shakari Richardson. And we talked about her situation, about how she's unable to run the 100 for obviously different reasons than we're speaking about now. But we did talk about that she is eligible to run the 400, which we decided she shouldn't. But very similar situation in that it's paralleled for sure.
Right.
But you did run the...
I did choose to run it because one, Dan, who was one of the foundations of my team, and Molly Killingbeck, who has been an incredible supporter of me forever and such an amazing lady.
What's her name? Molly Killingbeck?
Molly Killingbeck, yes. Yes, I'm thankful.
We're all thankful.
I'm thankful that Molly, you know, talked me down from decisions, this real decisions I was about to make. But you know what?
This is such an understated moment, though, man. Because,
yes.
Like, this moment doesn't happen. You potentially run for another country.
Right. I'm going to win. I was going to win, too.
I'm saying that would have been crushing to have you represent another country and blow us out of the water. That'd have been crushing.
It would have been crushing, yes.
Yeah, that'd have been.
But thank God it didn't happen.
Well, it didn't happen, right? Like we talked about the Black Mirror episode. Like this Molly person averted a Black Mirror episode.
Yes.
Like she averted a black hole in Canadian sport.
Right, right. I mean, well, yeah, it's an incredible global sporting moment
that we would have been deprived of had it not been for the intervention of a person that no one knew existed.
Well, yes. Well, again, track people know she exists.
Well, sorry. I mean, in the Donovan Bailey story.
Right.
So you're running for Canada thanks to Molly.
Yeah.
You're at the meet now. You're running the 400.
4x1, the relay. Yeah.
The relay. Mm-hmm.
I felt that the Commonwealth Games, it was at my house. This is at my home.
Because they were here in Victoria.
They were here in Canada.
Right.
So I'm like, I thought that I was robbed of an extremely important moment in my career, because I felt and my coach felt that the world record at that time would have been broken on Canadian soil in front of Canadians.
By a Canadian.
By a Canadian.
Right.
That's an incredible opportunity.
That's a marketing grandstand moment.
That is correct. But however, if you go back and look at the relay, I want to anchor, but nevertheless, I'm like, no, you know what? I'm going to be diplomatic. I'm going to lead off.
Okay, hold on.
I'm going to go do this.
There's so much bullshit happening right now. Okay, so they deny you from the team first. Then when they let you on the team, they don't let you run the 100.
The anchor. Because
No, I'm talking about the original 100
right,
meter.
Yes.
And now that you are allowed to run in the relay, you're not even running the anchor, which is the fast, which is where you want the speed demon.
Well, that's you want a guy who can snatch people, yes.
Yeah, yeah. Because that's the most important part. That's the final leg.
It's all important, but...
No, but the final leg is when the meat hits the ground. Like, that's when it's like...
Say, if we were down, you want...
The fastest guy to make up that ground, right?
You want a killer.
And it's a straightaway, right?
It's a straightaway. Well,
yeah.
You come off the turn, but
right. It's the deadbolt. It's when it goes down, right? Okay. So... Wow, there's so much politics in this moment. I'm mind blown right now.
Well, that's what I'm saying. And that's why there was a threat. I said, I am going to do this.
You said this.
Yes. I said to the team, I'm like, okay, I am going to give you...
Where was this? I want this whole picture in my head. Where was this moment happening?
This
the locker room?
This is on a practice track.
Okay.
Practice track. When I got to the village.
Okay.
I said, Glenroy, I'm going to give you a 10 to 15 meter lead. And if we don't win this goal, we're going to fight. No, straight up. And listen, and as God is my witness, we would have fought.
Absolutely. Oh, yeah?
I was dead serious.
Throwing fists, eh?
No, fists, spikes in your mouth, whatever.
Oh, karate kicks.
Oh, absolutely. Dude. No. Straight up,
This would add a whole different dimension.
This would have, well.
To karate.
We won.
With spikes
we won.
Shoes.
That's all that matters. So we got. So I mean, if you Google 1994 Canada 4x1 relay Commonwealth Games,
and I encourage you all to do this because I've done it, and it's actually you swell up with pride if you're Canadian, and if you're a track star, you love it. So if you're following us from not Canada, you'll still love it because it's an exhilarating race.
No, listen. Track fans are huge around the world, and you all, especially, first of all, right, it's the Olympics. You've got all this track in the air. So yes, Google that for a little nostalgia.
I love it.
For a little nostalgia. So, you know, I handed I came out of the blocks and I crushed everyone in my leg, crushed them, murdered them, handed off the baton. And I was the first athlete to ever do this. Put my hand in the air after the first leg and put number one in the air. I put number one in the air. I put number one. I know it. And we still had three legs to go. Glenroy had to run his, complete it to Carlton to Bruni. And yeah, I'm like, yeah, man, because if we don't, I know I handed off the baton and there's no one around. So I hammered all these people. So.
Were they all like, holy shit, Donovan Bailey is running first?
Right. So yes. So what ended up happening was we won. Yes, we won, thank God.
No fights. There was no fights that day.
No, because, well, it's the, you know what? Here's the thing. If I'm on the team, we're going to get a gold medal. And that's swagger, different, confidence, different for every single one of those guys on the team. Every one of them. And they all know that. So I handed off the baton. I put my hand there. I turned to the crowd on that side of Canadians. And man, you know, the adrenaline was just next level. It's so great.
That's incredible. That's an incredible moment. And you did that in Victoria?
Yes.
Wow.
Victoria, 1994.
Yeah, you
100 years ago.
Seems like it at times. It seems like a faraway place.
From 19. 19- 94, like from the Commonwealth Games on, I'm like, okay, now this is business. Now I'm now passionate about this. I mean, I've always been an extremely competitive person, but all of a sudden
I don't feel that from you at all, actually.
Never.
I was just thinking what a pushover you probably were most of your life. But that's another episode of Running Things with Donovan Bailey, and I'm your co-host, Simon Jane.
Until next time, stay safe.
We're here every week, powered by Acast. Thanks for sticking around, guys. Ciao.